The Bible reading for the sermon is that passage which was just read. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, for all you have done for us, all the mercy you've shown us in the past. And we pray now that your Holy Spirit will be with us, that we will understand the meaning of the mind of Christ, your Son, our Lord, and that you'll give us the wisdom and the courage to put it into practice in loving our neighbor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. St. Paul was in a life and death situation, needing compassion and mercy, in jail, writing about the consolation in Christ, the comfort of love, the fellowship of the Spirit, compassion, pity, unity of the people, that there wouldn't be this conflict between Euodia and Syntyche, and that they'd all pull together toward the goal of helping those saints who were in need, not the least of was Paul himself. And we live in a situation that cries out for this mercy in a massive way today among our own congregations, our own people, an estimate of 2/3 of which have been hurt, affected by the flood. I was talking to our 89 graduate, Ken DeSoto, at Black River Falls, Wisconsin, one along the Mississippi, who on June 30th saw six of his families lose their homes, described on the Lutheran Hour special broadcast on the flood situation, where Dale Meyer interviewed one of these. Pastor DeSoto describes the situation. He says, I was on vacation. I wrote a sermon for the elder to read. And during the church service, in the middle of his sermon, the Department of Natural Resources officer burst through the door of the congregation and said, the dam is broken. On our side, there's a tidal wave of water coming. And half of the congregation, the able-bodied, rushed out down into what's called the Grove, the low section of this Cranberry Bogs area of the Black River, which flows into the Mississippi, to try to save people and their things. This past Sunday, on the 25th of July, one of those who was helped returned to the voters' assembly and in tears thanked the people for helping. That's what Paul is trying to do, is get these Christians united in the cause of the goal of helping those in need, of showing compassion, pity, mercy. And the whole source of that, to have the mind of Christ, but especially to put it into practice, is in the love of God. I was talking to Redeemer Lutheran Church, 8 o'clock, children's message, you know, the little children who come up in Evansville a little over a week ago. And I said, what's your favorite love story? What's the greatest one? Oh, surprise, little boys. Beauty and the Beast. Another, Cinderella. 101 Dalmatians, you know, there even the little puppies show love toward one another. And then a little girl about that tall, very serious little girl, says, the Bible. And she's right. The love story of God, hearing the merciful cry of Hagar and her little child in the desert thirsting, and interprets it as a prayer for compassion and help, and water flows forth from the rock. Or when Isaac wants to know, where is the sacrifice? And God provides, again, in his mercy, the ram caught in the thicket. Or even better, God gave his only son. Love is of God. God is love. And there is the foundation. And we are ministers of this reconciling love of God, which was in Christ Jesus. And that's the unifying, reconciling love that Paul is trying to bring to these Philippians, because they've helped others before, and now they're the saints who need help. And that's what we need today, to humble ourselves and see the need and be unified to put this into practice. Jesus taught that too. Paul uses that term in one of the translations. He says, practice that which I, you know, which I taught and which I tried to practice. And so did Jesus teach it. The lawyer got up in the assembly. What does one need to do to have eternal life? Well, what does it say? Jesus said. You know, these fellows who knew the Jewish law had a leather pouch and it was in there, and the lawyer could quote it. Love God, love your neighbor. Jesus, do it. Well, who is my neighbor? He's on the defensive. Who is my neighbor? And Jesus said there was a man, half dead, beaten by the robbers on the way from Jerusalem to Jericho. And a couple passed by him and didn't help him, and then one came and helped him. Helped heal him with oil and wine, and put him on the donkey and took him to an inn and gave money to take care of him. Which do you think has a chance for the eternal life? Oh, the lawyer says, the one who showed mercy. Jesus, do it. Do it. So, I was talking to Elaine Richter, who heads up Lutheran World Relief for the flood victims, yesterday on the phone. And she tells how our congregations are doing it. Say, for example, well, we have 80 families homeless in one congregation, another 26 homeless families, but in one, Shepherd of the Hills, Des Moines, she tells about how the government and the church were unified to try to help these homeless people. So the church provided the building as a shelter house and the government supplies. And here's as you might know, among these homeless, like in the so-called groves of Black River Falls, Wisconsin, the single families, you know, single parent families, the poor people, the old people in the lower flood area housing developments. And so Elaine asks the youngest of one of these children, the single parent families in the shelter house in Shepherd of the Hills, what happened? Oh, she said, Nicole is her name. Our house fell in a hole. How old are you? 7. I'm going to be 8 Saturday. So the church is going to help celebrate her birthday. Paul says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, have the mind of Christ. And so the church is doing it today. And Elaine says, and it's more than this. You know, it is more than that. It's concern. That term is used by Paul frequently, concern. I was preaching not far from here at Emmaus in South Bend on Sunday, where in 2 weeks one of our grads will be installed as pastor. And this, I was in the sacristy getting ready for communion. This elder, who's also an officer in an insurance company, comes in and says, could you give us the names of somebody who needs help among these flood victims? Oh, I'd be glad to, I said. Monday, I phoned in the names because I knew they were having a meeting on Monday night. I says, call Pastor Ken DeSoto. 6 of his families have lost their homes. And even since June 20th, you know, there hasn't a lot of help come in. One of them didn't even have any grocery money. And the money that came in would just about pay for the groceries, if that. So they had a meeting Monday night. Yesterday morning, I get a call from this elder. We thank you for giving us the names. We're going to do it. We're going to help them. That's what's the will of God and the mind of Christ in Jesus. As St. Paul is teaching it, and we're reminded of it in his word today, do it. He says, we're going to do it. But it's more just than the material things. As Elaine Richter said, there are people who are so depressed mentally, psychologically, spiritually, they need counsel. That's what St. Paul says. Along with the mission help, the inner mission help, goes the message of God's love. Counseling of the depressed. I remember that in the plane crash in Evansville, which was so depressing. The nurse who had examined the burned corpses, you know, the teeth. She worked for the dentist, member of one of our congregations, was so depressed after that she needed counseling. A policeman who handled the cleanup of the bodies and wreckage, which I photographed, was so depressed that with his medicine, he died. And so Elaine is correct. Paul says, confess Jesus Christ as Lord to the glory of God the Father, so that the name of Jesus, they'll be in touch with the personal God through the church, the body of Christ, through reminding through the word, reminding and taking in that reality of God's love in the sacrament in our inner depths. I was talking to another grad in the Quad Cities. Yes, he knew somebody who needed this kind of counseling. He wanted to know if some seminarian would be able to help or would know a way of which help could be brought to Orville Peterson. He's an old man, over 70. House on 4th Street, right on the bank of the Mississippi. Filled with backed up sewers. This man has done his best. He's worked with all of his energy in his life. He's tired and depressed. He needs counseling. He needs help. Maybe you know somebody that could help him. And they're a lot like him. Orville Peterson on 4th Street, on the bank of the Mississippi. And finally, there's even a higher expression of this love of God in Christ. Sure, we're called into faith and into the church, his body. We're called into vocations, those of us who are leaders, and we're sort of exhorted in here to be humble too, like Christ humbled himself and took on the form of the servant. And so, as Tom Peters says in writing about management, we shouldn't think of ourselves in some way as authoritative dictators who look down on people. But he says the pyramid should be tipped over. And we're down here, yes, significant in our vocations, but all of those people up there who need the mind of Christ, the compassion of God, we add value to their lives by humbling, serving them. Not considering only ourselves, but others. And be unified in this great cause which goes on to the highest calling. As Paul says then, that I can press on toward the goal to win the prize of God's calling me heavenward through Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.